time we did it, 2 or 3, 4 weeks ago, whenever, it just like lodged there, and it was a file that just kept replaying over and over and over. Hallelujah. Mount Gap, thanks for being here today. Let me tell you a little bit about Paul and Joanna. Paul is here today. We're very thankful that he is here. He's here to teach in a Bible school in Colorado Springs. He begins that tomorrow. So shortly after service, I'll be taking them to Atlanta. And they'll fly to Colorado Springs and teach in Andrew Womack's Bible school there. So we're delighted that you're here with us, and we're thankful. We bless Andrew Womack and his ministry, and thankful that that partnership is there and a part of your life. But Paul and Joanna, have you been to the States a lot? To the U.S. a lot? Yeah? Okay. I've only seen Paul by himself, so it's good to meet you. We're glad you're with us this morning. They have 3 children. They age from 16, almost 17, all the way up to 25. A very large network of churches that he works with. It's a relational network throughout Europe in various places. And we're just delighted that he's here. Paul has had a long, looking for a microphone. Did they give you the microphone? Okay, good. Paul has had a long relationship with Bain and Barbara Janes, whom you all know, and they've been with us. And so we're thankful for that relationship. Relationship is so important, guys. Thank you, Stacy. I know I'm not preaching, but y'all can still love me this morning. Relationship is so important. Amen? Amen. Well, the 4 things that I told you are our core values or DNA for Mountain Gap are worship and freedom and community and generosity, because our Father is generous. And so we sing about freedom. We experienced worship. Community is another word for relationship. And so I'm just thankful for the relationships that he's had. He has been with the Georgia Conference LifePoint Ministries before and ministered in our camp meeting and just had a very powerful and effective ministry. Mountain Gap, would you do me a favor this morning? Would you put your hands together and welcome Paul Godawa to the platform as he ministers this morning?
Good morning. I'm so honored to be here with you. I still can recall the time when I was last time, and it was 2 years ago. And who was there? Who remembered that? Wow. Okay. I hope I won't disappoint you this morning. I'm not a pastor here. So if you don't like what I'm saying, come next Sunday. You will surely enjoy that. And I'm honored that I can be here, and it's always good to be invited back, because that speaks about relationship and things that really matter. I don't want to talk much about myself, and I'm aware of time, so I understand that you are all very busy, and the weather finally got very nice here. So you, after the meeting, you're rushing somewhere, but before we go, I think I came here with an assignment to tell you things, which really took me quite a number of years to discover. I want to speak to you today about 7 relationships which shapes your life. And I believe that if we continue with this, you will realize how valuable this word relationship is in the kingdom. In Psalm 1, please open the Bible in Psalm 1. I don't know if you still carry the Bible or you do have the projectors. I don't know how you do that. You still have a Bible. That's awesome. That's awesome. Always bring your Bible. Psalm 1:1. Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of a scornful. Many years ago, I have discovered those secrets which really revolutionized my life. It is a power of relationships. Well, I believe it will benefit you if you listen carefully. Because I believe that it is possible for your lack of knowledge to limit your progress. But it is impossible for your relationships not to. Well, I used to think that I can determine the outcomes of my life. Many times you can hear people say, well, you're the boss. You can determine what's going on in your life. You can shape your life. It sounds great. And it brings some amens. But it's not complete truth. You are not determining the outcome of your life. People you are walking with will determine that. You will never grow in life beyond your relationships. Actually, if you want to know where you're going in life, look with whom you're hanging with. And that's the place. And that's the picture. People you like to spend the time the most, their life will become your life. The greatest things you can discover is how to properly disconnect from the wrong people and properly connect with the right ones. Some people would say, well, it's pretty obvious. I live here. They are not bad people. They are good people. I'm not saying they are bad. I'm saying that if you want to grow, you have to find the good ones. It is easy to settle down in relationships. Because life teaches this, that it is not good which influence evil. But evil always influences good. You may disagree with me. That's fine. The Bible never says that the good influences evil. The Bible says that the good can conquer evil, but cannot influence. Evil always influences good. That's why the Bible says the bad company corrupts good morals. Why? Because the bad which is in some people will finally influence you. If good would influence evil, the whole world would be saved already. You would not have to change the world. You will just show up and influence. But is it that true that if you have a child of 10, 12, 13 years old, you really want them to be with good people? You may say, well, they are good. Why bother? But the thing is, you understand unconsciously that if they will walk with wrong people, the wrong and evil will finally influence them. So you want your children to be with the right people. If you will believe that good influences evil, you will feel safe. You will even say, it is good that my child walks with the wrong people, because he or she will finally influence them. But many times, and it's always in life, it's opposite. The greatest relationship you can ever have is friendship. The Bible says that we grow to friendship. Even with God, the greatest thing you can become is a friend of God. I understand that God will always be above. But I also understand that if He calls you a friend, that's the greatest compliment in life. The same is in your life. The people who you call the friend will influence you the most and will shape the outcome and determine the outcome of your life. Whoever is your friend is a picture of your soul. Whoever is your friend will shape you. It is why David didn't have much friendship among his own peers. But he has found Jonathan, a different man. Are you with me? I'm not going to speed up. I will slow down. But I want you to think. Here are some qualifications for friendship. If you like, you can write this down, because I don't have much time and I do not travel very often and I don't know if I will be back. But I want to say those things to you so you can remember. Make sure that your friends are committed to long-lasting relationships. In other words, we are building for life. Many times we build for a short period of time and it never works. You find some people who change friends every 3 months. And they say, here is my friend, and this is my friend, and they are not my friends now, but this is my friend, and this is my friend, and this is my friend. Long-lasting relationships. Second, my friends must have empires in their brains. Listen, it's great to have a friend who thinks. Not only to just have a laugh, but who is thinker, whose mind is going somewhere. It's great to have a friend who thinks through things, who thinks what they say, who imagine themselves, who dream. It's good to have friends who encourage you for a future. Empires in their brains. People who read things. It's great to have friends who read books. I don't want to read anything. I like the fish. You can live wherever you want to, but never allow the circumstances or surrounding fools you that life is without thinking. Now, what do you want? It's a sunshine. Let's have a hamburger and slow down. Really? Let's have a good thinking dialogue with someone. Let your friend challenge you with some thoughts. You will go somewhere. Otherwise, you'll be fishing. And the greatest achievement of your life will be a fish. You can do the picture and show to your grandchildren. That's me. When I was young. And that's my greatest achievement. I leave this with you. My picture of your granddaddy with a fish. You know, okay. Make sure that your friends are sowers. Ah, you are a rich guy and I'm the poor one. So you always treat me. Have you noticed that there are some people who never, never say, Bill, please, this is my treat. Today I'm paying. Make sure that you have to fight for a bill with your friend. If you don't have to fight, it's not your friend. It's a parasite. There are some people who will take everything you have to offer. And they don't even think to give something back. Make sure your friends are sowers, not only to you and to your life, but to others. Generous people who understand that the life depends upon the seed. Otherwise, you're dying. You may have a hamburger or hot dog, or even a nice key lime pie. But that's it. Life is more than this. We can conquer things. And we cannot conquer without a seed. If we cannot sow to each other and to others around, how can we change the world? I remember when we first started and we dreamed about television ministry and we thought we can reach more people through television. And television in Poland is a little bit different than your Christian television. So if you think bad about me, don't judge me too quickly. And we raised the money to do television and we raised the money and it was not enough. So we decided that if it's not the harvest, it must be a seed. So we took the money and we sent it over to already working television station and the people who were preaching the gospel. And 10 years later, when we were raising the money for another time, second time for our television, we raised $82,000 in our congregation in 4 days. 4 days. And we were able to buy cameras, all the equipment, everything we needed. And now we are 7 years weekly, 6 times a week on television, reaching thousands of Polish people. But everything starts with the seed. And I had to be with the people, my friends, who would encourage me to go there. To go to place which is uncomfortable for your soul. Make sure that your friends, they have to qualify to receive your seed as well. The character and the life, you want to sow into it. My friends, your friends, they must prize integrity above the relationship. In other words, we are not in it together to cover up. I will be such a good friend to you that I will be with you even when I'm standing against you. And I will challenge you. And I will tell you the truth because I love you. And I know you will have bad feelings about me. And that's okay. That's a part of friendship. The Bible says that the wounds of a friend are faithful. Your friends must be willing to confront your enemies. So when you are fighting, make sure that there are people who you call your friends. They are there. Many times people understand and see it that when you have a true hell, nobody shows up. Sometimes God will let you go through a crisis in life so you will know who will call you and who will show up. Okay. Seven dangerous relationships. All right? First one. Be aware of the people who will feed your rebellion. They are people who will feed your rebellion. Do you believe that? Rebellion is a part of our old nature, which was crucified in Christ, but we still have the memories. So some people and some folks will take advantage of your memories and they will feed it. Feed your rebellion in your memories, in your thoughts. Be aware, people who will feed your weakness. They will justify your weakness. Oh, that's not a problem. Are you smoking? That's not a problem. Everybody has a weakness. Everybody has something. You just smoke, but you're nice. I'm not saying you're not nice. I'm saying that you smell like hell. I'm your friend. Don't go there. You know, some people will feed the compromise in you. Oh, I just didn't really feel like coming to church and for encounter meeting or whatever you do. I just didn't feel like. Would you? Oh, no. I think you're so tired. You can stay home. Yeah. Let's all stay home. Why the bother? Let Chinese work the evangelism. Let they change. And we are blessed. Let's go fishing. There are some people who will feed that in you. Be aware of people who will feed your greed. They will say, oh, you are such a giver. Everybody wants to hear that. You're so wonderful giver. But the thing is, the truth is, most of us never give enough. And I'm not excluding myself. I'm including myself. I will be honest with you. If there will be not good friends who will push me beyond my limits, I will feel so good as a giver. Because there are people who comes to me and they will say, Paul, you always give. And I'm like, it's just like God. I can't help, I'm just like God. Ah, Jesus, I have to kill that. Be aware of people who will feed your fears. Everybody is afraid of something. But some people would come to you and they will say, don't go there. It's too risky. Don't go there. Don't do it. You're too ambitious. Slow down. Fifth, be aware of people who do not defend you. Somebody said, I am not hurt by the cry of my enemy, but I am hurt by the silence of my friends. In the time of struggle and your own fight, be aware that there are people who will keep silent. And they will tell you, we are your friends. 2 years ago, there was a lot of criticism about me. And I can handle criticism, I thought. But it was connected with the silence of the people, which were very close to me. And I couldn't handle that. I needed a help. Because, believe me, I wanted to quit. In life, you can face 1,000 people who are against you. But you will be very hurt by the ones who are close to you and they do nothing about it. You will not want to quit because of them, but you would like to quit because of this one. I didn't quit. Be aware of the people who feed your discontentment. When you say, well, I don't have this and that. And they say, yeah, you're right. You need to change the focus. You need people who will change the focus and tell you how blessed you are. Because you are. People are unhappy not because they don't have. It's because they don't see what they have. I went to Nigeria and I saw a lady on a tea plantation with a child hanging on her back. And she was picking a leaves, singing Christian song. She was so happy. And I go to Western nations and I see in pews people who are unfulfilled and unhappy, having more than most of the world. I like one of men said, you know, you are rich. the rich people, the poor people, they talk about rich people. They say, you know what? They are so rich. They had a home for their car. And some of them, they have a home for two cars. And some of them, they are so rich, they have a wardrobe full of clothes, and they do like this, and like this. And you know what? When they do this, they say they have nothing to wear. They are so rich that they think they have nothing to wear. Unbelievable. It describes us, right? Most of you. Most of us. Be aware of the people who feed your doubts. Oh, yeah. Sure. There are giants in the land. Oh, yeah. The world is in danger. Don't risk now. Are you ready for another one? Seven people you really need in your life now. Write this down quickly and we'll go fishing. We need people who will help you to believe and be obedient. People who will say, this is your call, stay there. Paul said that to Timothy, stay there. I needed a few times my spiritual father who would say, stay there. Don't go anywhere, stay there. Do you remember friends of Daniel? They said, we will stand with you. We will not bow down. We will be obedient to God. We will be your friends. If we burn, there will be a lot of flame. Because we will be a wood with you. We will be all right. You will not scream yourself. We will make a choir. We will sing in voices in the fire. Look for people who are self-correctors. Second, nothing is better than to live with a self-corrector. It's so hard to live with someone or be with someone as a friend that you have to tell them all the time when they do wrong. And you say the same thing all the time. I told you. How many times I told you? When would be a time that you finally listen? Look for people who honor you so much that they will correct themselves because they know what pleases you. Look for people who will encourage you to sow the seed. As I told you, it's an amazing scripture in 1 Chronicle 29, 3-7. It speaks about the offering, and they were talking about how much they gave, and this one gave this, and I gave this, and this, and this. And sometimes we don't like the numbers, but they encourage others by the numbers. You need people who will encourage you with your seed and giving. Those who will actually push you beyond your limits. Nobody sits in the pew or live life thinking, I know what I do. I give $10,000 to this mission project. Mostly, we think, I need $10,000 to put a new tires in my swimming pool. and the water is not clear. I need to fix that. That's life. Life is around us. And we need other people who will push us that there is something else there. Right now, we are in the building project. And we started that in July. But then in November, I went to visit a couple, an elderly couple who used to pastor a church in England. And they were really well-off people. I mean, they lived well. And then when we came with my wife in November, I looked at them and I talked to them. They were really living in a small place. And I asked him in the morning, tell me the truth. How are you? And he began to cry. And he said, Paul, we are in debt. We hardly can survive. He invested most of his money for a pension in the company which got bankrupt. Instead of receiving £2,500 to £3,000 monthly as a pension, he's receiving 500. They hardly survive. So things happened in their home and they had to fix it. They didn't have the money, so they put the they put everything on the credit card. 82, 81 years old. They pioneered the church. They gave the church to someone after 25 years, and that new pastor forbid not allow them to come back. And I thought, my God. He said, Paul, I'm telling you this only because I know that you will pray with me. And you are the only one who asks how am I doing. And we are in the building project. But, I came back home with John. I said, hey, we have to do that. I asked him, what's your debt? He said, £2,500, which is about maybe $3,500. In the building project, it's kind of hard. But we took the whole month and we raised £2,500. And before Christmas, we were able to wire that money to them. Why did we have that? Not in the logic. Not in the logic. But I have friends who will push me beyond my limits. I cannot build a building on the bodies of my friends. I need them in my future. I don't want a building when people suffer. I'll stop everything to help them. But it's not a logical thing. Fourth, you need people who will encourage you to walk in love. Forgiveness. Fifth, you need people who will defend you when you are not present. I remember one time, it was a few years ago, there were a few people in the church who were not happy. They were not happy about what was going on. And unhappy people do this. They decided to pray. They created a prayer group. They began to pray for me to change. I know you don't have those problems in churches in America. But those people, they gather together and they said, listen, we've got a problem. Houston, we've got a problem. Our pastor is not doing right. He's not spiritual anymore. We can see his tendencies are more towards the crowd than towards us. We need to pray for a change. and he's a problem. And a man from Ukraine who came to us and stayed with us was invited to that meeting. He was pretty kind of short in our church, in our congregation, probably 6 months. So he came for that prayer meeting, and he, when they began to talk, he realized, wow, what is it? So he asked them a few straight questions. He said, "Is Pastor Paul knows about that meeting?" And they were like, "No. Why would we tell him? It's a secret thing. He doesn't know he's got a problem. Is he allowing things like that in the church?" No. That's why he's wrong. If he would be right, he will understand that we need to pray. So he got up and he said, Listen, I'm out of here. And openly I say to you, I will go directly to Pastor Paul and tell him about that meeting. They got so scared because someone in my absence was able to stand and say, it's wrong. True friend. We are friends till this day. And guess what? All of those people who've been in that meeting today are not a part of our church. I will tell you more. They are not a part of any church because there is no spiritual enough church for them. I will tell you more. They not only nowhere, but they are not meeting together. Why bother? Let's go fishing. Church is boring. And guess what? I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm wrong. They are right. I'm the one with a problem. They have no problems. And they don't go anywhere now. And I'm still preaching. Amen. You need people in your life who will turn your gratitude towards God. Thankfulness is a sign of being full of the Spirit. Some people say, well, you can be filled with the Spirit when you will speak in tongues. I disagree. To be truthful in the Spirit is to continue walk in gratitude. Holy Spirit will always bring you to a place of worship and thankfulness. Because you will realize that life do not own you anything. World do not own you anything. God do not own you anything. And hey, pastor do not owe you anything. Everything you've got, it's a gift from God. Everything. And seventh, you need people who will encourage you to believe God. You need four crazy friends who will tell you, don't worry, don't be afraid of height. We'll take you down safely. Just relax and lay down. You'll be okay. You need people who will teach you how to walk in faith. Believe God for things. Believe Him because He is real. And today I thought we can all pray for the proper disconnecting and proper connections in life. If you want that, you can come forward and we all can pray. Please stand up. Can I ask someone to play this beautiful, whatever, instrument. Okay. If you hear, if you think, well, I can adjust a few things in my friendship. I can become a better friend. But I want something to be changing my life. And in order for this change to happen, I need other people to join me. I need true friends who will push me beyond my limits so I can finally reach my full potential. If it's you, please stand with me. Come forward. Because the relationships will shape your life. The very first miracle in the Bible was a miracle of a lame man. And Peter and John walked up to him. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have." Actually, he was describing in Greek the gate of the temple, which was made by silver and gold. Basically, he was saying, I cannot give this to you. But he reached him by the hand. And the Bible says that his ankles were healed and strengthened. You need some people in your life who will take you by the hand. And the Bible says that they walk up by the stairs. In other words, I cannot bring this to you, but I can take you there. Because what I have a strength in my feet. And I have ability to make you stronger. Give me a hand and let's walk together. Years ago, I went to London. Didn't have place to speak. We just started our church. In the sense of new building, we just started, we purchased that. We were a handful of people. And I knew I'm lost. And then that conference, there were 3,000 people. How can God find you in 3,000 people crowd? That was a last offering. I didn't have anything to give. I gave everything. I didn't know how they receive offerings, so they received the first offering so well, I gave everything. I didn't know that there will be a second offering. Now I'm a little bit more wiser, so I just divide that. But so I was just, I didn't have anything. And then I found that I have a watch, and I took off this watch, and I put it in the envelope. And we were queuing in line, standing in line to give an offering, a man who preached that day, the name of Tony Miller, he looked at me, and out of this 3,000, he handed me his card, shaking the hand, and he said, "Call me." I did. He took me by my hand. And since that moment, my life has never been the same. Life will be determined by whose hand you are willing to reach. With whom you are willing to walk.